Heavenly Father, every word in that song is true. There's nothing in any of our lives that's better than you. There's nothing. You've turned dead things into life in our lives, in us. You've taken bones and you've turned them into armies. Lord, you've taken impenetrable seas and you've turned a highway right there for us to go on. And that's just what you do. That's who you are. And on Sunday morning, we get to come together and do this very special and unique thing and sing from the depths of our hearts about your goodness and love to each one of us. It's the only time all week we get to do this together, louder than just alone. Together, we get to give you our very best praise and just acknowledge that we love you because you first loved us. Thank you, God, so much. You really are our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you, worship team. That was awesome. Man, thank you, God. We are so blessed. Well, if you're visiting here today, if you're new, I just want to let you know that right now during this season, we're just kind of taking a break from Children's Church and some of that. So there is a cry room, a family room, where if you want to take a baby or a toddler in there, you can go in there and you can still hear the sermon. It's piped in. But just for now, for at least for a couple more weeks, I believe, that we're just going to be kind of staying in here together. So if the kids are near you and they're a little bit loud or a little bit distracted, just bear with them. And just remember how boring a bunch of adults in one room with one guy talking must be to a little kid. Amen? So we know it's not boring because God's going to move. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So if you have your Bible with you, could you turn with me to Psalm 91? That's where almost all of today's sermon is going to come out of. That's Psalm 91. Looks like most of you are there. Also, I just encourage you, you can absolutely follow on an app in your phone. That's great. That doesn't bother me a bit. You might want to silence your phone. Otherwise, some sales guy is going to call you in about 20 minutes. But that's how it works, right? They call you at the worst times. So, you know, in this time that we're all living in right now, which is pretty unique, I think we can all agree that 2020 is different than any other year we've ever lived in. Whether you're 16 or you're 66, it's just a strange time. And none of us can escape the media, the news that's everywhere all the time. So we're constantly being beat down with seems like bad news that they want to try to convince us is hopeless. And if we look at the economy, we look at job conditions, we look at, I mean, like most of our vacations either got canceled or are really hampered. If you look at all this different stuff, things that are going on, it's easy to get really agitated. That's what I find. If I'm not careful, I can get really agitated. I can lose my peace. It's hard for me to stay calm. Do you guys find that holds true right now too? Maybe you're worrying for yourself about a lot of different things or worrying about what's going to happen to your family, your kids, the school year, maybe your spouse and work, maybe yourself, all of the above. And so I just want to, today, I want to share a message that I believe God put on my heart on Monday morning to help us find the peace of God and the calm of God, the presence of God in the midst of all this junk that's going on. So I'm really believing, in fact, I'm pretty confident God's going to touch us today, that this is going to be a very different Sunday than what we're used to. So the message today, if you're looking for a title, if you're a person that keeps notes, I know some people keep very good notes. So the title today is Finding Hope for Today. Very, very simple message, Finding Hope for Today. Because in the midst of all this, it seems like the message that the enemy, the devil, is trying to give to all of us, to convince us of, is that it's hopeless. Give up your hope. Do you know the definition of hope? You might have noticed it on the sign out front. Hope is the confidence that good things are coming. That's what hope is. I believe something good is going to happen. That gives you hope. When you don't have hope, you just walk around just going, well, what's next? I know something more bad's going to happen. Nothing ever good happened. Right? That, because you've lost your hope. And in the time we live in, it's actually kind of easy to lose hope if we're not careful. So today's message, finding hope for today, the answer is very simple. It really is. It's easy and simple. It's by hiding ourselves in God and clothing ourselves with Christ, we are filled with hope. It's a simple, it's so simple. I'm so glad I don't have to go back to college, or, well, go back to college, who am I kidding? I'm glad I don't have to go to college. I'm glad I don't have to go back in the Marines, okay? It's so simple. You guys remember last Sunday, when I invited you to Monday to join me in the day of prayer and fasting for God to just speak to us, to touch us? Well, I did do that. All this came out of that time. So everybody that was praying and fasting, I just want to say thank you, because together we go higher and farther than any of us can alone. So I just appreciate you guys praying for me and praying with me. So we're going to start out with Psalm 91. I just want to read through the psalm. It's only, 16 verses long. And then I'm going to share what happened with me on Monday and share some of the things I believe God gave me for all of us. So Psalm 91, starting with verse 1. This is the New King James Version. Then David wrote this in one of his tough times when he was hopeful that God was going to show up. And he says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand. But it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling." That's good to know right now, isn't it? Verse 11, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." By the way, in all your ways means good, bad, and the ugly. Not just at church when we're all being the person we really meant to be all week. God is with you all the time, even at the worst times on your worst day. Isn't that awesome? In all your ways is what he says. Verse 12, "In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot." Verse 14, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I'll answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Wow. Wow. What an awesome, amazing psalm. For the time we live in right now, on this day, right here, in August of 2020, this thing speaks to each one of us. Now, I don't care how much you're overloaded, or maybe you're doing great, or you're only going through one thing, or it feels like you're going through a dozen things. This is the promise for each one of us today. Hiding yourself in God is covering yourself with Christ. And I'm going to read a verse a little bit later about what Paul said about it. David looked at hiding yourself in God as dwelling with God, dwelling in God. And dwelling's absolutely different than visiting. Because I visit Walmart, but I don't live at Walmart. You know what I mean? I don't really identify with Walmart. I visit there, I buy stuff, but I don't dwell there. I don't hang out any longer than I got to. You know what I mean? I don't go pick up a couple things and hang out for a couple hours because I like it. Dwelling means you're going to stay put. You're going to go someplace and you're going to put down roots. You're going to live there for a while. Your plan is, this is my future. This is where I live. I'm going to dwell here. That's how David looked at it. He says, put yourself into God. Dwell there. Hide yourself. If we do this, if we will dwell in God and clothe ourselves with Christ, he'll give us peace. He'll give us security. He'll give us protection. And when you have a sense of that from God, that you're in God's presence, that he's securing you, that these promises I read from Psalm 91, when those are in your mind and you're focused on God, I'll guarantee you, you will be filled with hope. Because when we're thinking about God and we have his presence, the verses come alive inside us. And we can hope to break that habit that we despise. We can hope to begin a new habit we've always wanted to do. We can be filled with hope that as I dwell in God, clothed in Christ, I'm on my way somewhere. I'm stepping into God's plan for my life. That's what Psalm 91 is all, it's all about. So Monday morning, I got up, got ready to go to church, come in, do work, and you know, I was already praying and fasting, got in the Word, did some worshiping stuff, and got ready to leave the house. And just as I was leaving the house, I was saying goodbye to Jeanette, and she's like, so what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm praying and fasting, so that's what I'm going to go do. I think I'm going to just head down to like Millennial Park or something, because I don't want to be in the normal place where normal things happen. I want to be alone with God. And so she said, okay, well, what do you want me to be praying for? I said, well, really, there's two things. I want fresh fire for me personally. I want more from God for me. And I'm specifically asking God to show me what's the next step for our church in this COVID season as we come out of summertime into fall. And, you know, hopefully more people come back to church, get back into church. And, I mean, all the stuff, all the challenges with school. If you've got kids in school, this is going to be a challenging time. It's going to be very different. And so I just want fresh fire. And I want God to tell me what's the next step for our church. She said, okay, that's what I'll be praying. So I left there, went to Millennial Park, drove around a little bit. I don't go down there very often. So I just drove around, kind of get the lay of the land, see where I could go. So I found this. They have several different buildings at Millennial Park. And, I mean, it's on one side is huge, and then you cross the street, there's a whole other huge Millennial Park over there. I don't know if they call it that, but both places have lots of stuff going on. And, you know, a lot of people, it was a summer day. And so I found this one place, one of the smaller buildings, and so I went up in there and got my Bible out, got my notebook out, and put my iPods in, started praising and worshiping God, and it was so funny because literally, I mean, it's one of the smaller places. It was smaller than the stage. And so I'm up there in the only picnic table in that place, and all of a sudden, this little, like, quad 4x4 thing comes cruising up. Where I'm sitting, they park like where my wife is sitting. The two of them get out, and in between us, they get out, they come over here, and they flip some panel up that I hadn't recognized was there, and I hear the guy tell the lady, so this thing right here has to come off, and it's stuck, so we have to beat it off. And he gets out a sledgehammer, and he starts banging on this thing. She goes, wow, that is loud. He goes, yeah, it's cast iron. We have to break it off of there. So I'm like, okay, I'm not in the spirit anymore. So I take my ear pods out, and I close my notebook and close my Bible, and I drive around again looking. And so I cross the street. I'm over on the other side, and I end up going up to one of the huge buildings. There's a couple there. I don't know if this is the biggest one, but this is really big. I think our auditorium could fit inside that building. And I think in a normal summer, there would be maybe 30 or 40 picnic tables in there. But due to COVID, I think there was 6 tables in there. And so there was no one in there. There was no one around. My car was the only car in the parking lot. I thought, this is pretty desolate. I should be able to get along with God in here. So I go up, and I sit at the picnic table. They had the tables like 2x2. So here's one table. I sat with my back to that table, and I sat down at this table. Put my Bible out. Put my notebook out. Turn on worship music. I worship. Get up. End up walking around worshiping God for a few songs. I sit back down. He really put Psalm 91 on my heart. So I sit down. I open it up. And I'm literally like just starting to go through some cross-reference verses out of my Bible for verse 1. And out of my peripheral vision, I see something. So I look, and here's a guy parking his bike, and then he sits down, like backwards at this table, looking at the back of my head. And so my first thought is like, seriously? Seriously. And then I think the Holy Spirit said, yeah, Mike, but don't you see something in this? Maybe you should talk to him. So, okay, take my iPads back out and say, hey, how you doing? He goes, oh, doing pretty good. I said, so out for a bike ride, huh? He goes, yeah, how about you? I said, well, I'm a local pastor, and I'm just here really trying to get alone and get in the presence of God and hear from God. He says, and this is, I wrote it down because I want to make sure that I get this word for word. I said, yep, how about you? He says, yep, how about you? He says, well, I said, I'm a local pastor getting away from everything, seeking God's presence. The next thing he said was, you don't have to worry about the next step. Trust God, that's what faith is. The last thing I told Jeanette to pray for me is that God would tell me what the next step is. And so I'm like, oh, hallelujah, glory to God. So I talked to him for maybe, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes. He was took off on his bike ride. And I was overwhelmed, honestly. He left, and I just started praising again. And I was up there for several hours just getting with God. I was just so reminded that as you seek God, as you're hungry for God, he always responds. He always answers. Always, 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 always. When we move towards God, he's already there. It's not like then he moves towards us. He's already there. He hugs us when we move towards him. That's how it is. So when David wrote this psalm, which then I went back into and started doing some of these cross-references, it was just absolutely amazing how in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, how they dwelled in God. So Psalm 91, I went back and started focusing on this. Psalm 91, verse 1. He says, David says, he who dwells, which is abide, its permanency, in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I was just struck by this amazing miracle that this guy, when I was telling Travis about that story, he goes, oh, that was an angel. I'm like, do you think so? He goes, well, how could it not be? I'm like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. That all happened because I was trying to find a secret place. No one knew. No other human being on this earth knew where I was. Jeanette knew I was at Millennium, but that's a pretty big place. She didn't know if I was walking on the paths, sitting at the beach, or in one of these buildings. So it's like he who dwells in the secret place, that's where God shows up. And I want to encourage you guys, sometime today or this week, like last Sunday, I picked Monday. You pick a time somewhere where you can go into a secret place. It's only going to be you and God there. And if you have a phone, at least take it off of phone service, you know, so that no one can bug you for those 15 minutes or half hour, whatever you want. While you're with God, no one can get at you. Believe me, the world can take care of itself while you're with God for a little bit. Get in a secret place because that's where God will meet you. So I was looking at, you know, I read the whole psalm through, and I was especially touched with the word dwell. So I was looking at verse 1 and 9 and 10, because 9 also says, because you've made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. And so I looked up that word, and that can mean a few different things, but all these have basically the same core, the same backbone is, it's someplace where you live there. It's a permanency. It's a place where you live. Verse 10 says, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. As you abide in God, in the promises of God, no plague. I'm pretty sure most of us agree that COVID is a plague, right? I don't know how real it is. I don't know how much of this is politicized. Some of it's real, for sure. And it's a plague, and it's really crippling the world right now. But God says, if I just abide in him, if I dwell in him, this stuff won't come to me. Wow. Another cross-reference from verse 1 that I looked up. And if you are looking in your Bible, if you're following along, because you turned to Isaiah, we're coming back to 91, by the way. But if you could look up Isaiah 25:4. There's a few verses that I just want to take the time for us to look up, because I want you guys to read it for yourself in your Bible or on your phone. There's real power for us individually to read the Word. As we read through Psalm 91, you'll remember that basically God promises us to protect us from everything. Big, little, small, skinny, wide, whatever it is, God's going to protect us and provide for us. So then one of the cross references for Isaiah 25:4 in my Bible for dwelling and dwells, it took me to Isaiah 25:4. And this is what it says. For you have been a strength to the poor. This is what Isaiah says about God. For you have been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress. Anybody here have any distress in their life? Amen. I was in distress when I sought God. That was one of my motivations. I was distressed about our church and the care for you guys. So when I read that, you're a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm. Sometimes the stuff that stresses us feels like a storm. Amen? I know mine do. You're a shade from the heat, for the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. He's not just talking about an outside storm anymore, folks. He says the blast from the terrible ones. There's demons and principalities and powers that are all the time trying to take us out through discouragement, depression, offense, infirmity, you name it. They're all the time coming after us. And sometimes, if you're really going through stuff right now, sometimes it can feel like you're just getting blasted with a hurricane force wind and it's hailing. That's what David says. He says, for the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. It's like you're trying to stay. Imagine a wind, a horrible wind, a stormy wind, coming and just blasting against that wall. And here you are, it's just drilling you. Doesn't it feel like that sometimes? The stuff we go through, it just feels like you're just getting hammered. And not by just one thing. It feels like there's a mountain falling on me sometimes. This thing, it just encouraged me. So when I had seen that, I was like, God, you know me. You know where I'm at right now. You're talking to me, Lord. It was so amazing. Psalm 27:5 says this. You don't have to turn here, but this one really spoke to me. Remember where I'm at? I'm at Millennium. I'm at one of the biggest buildings. You know what they call those? In Psalm 27:5, this is what this cross reference says. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Come on. They call those things pavilions. Now, if I'd have told you last Sunday that I'm going to go find a park that has a scripture, a big part of it is about a scripture, be like, Mike, how are you going to swing this? But that's exactly what God did. When I was sitting there at that table, after the guy in the bike, if he was an angel, he's an angel called Don, after he left, after his miraculous statement to me, which was a miracle, whether he's an angel or not, I don't know, but it was a miracle when he said the next step is trusting God. After he left and I'm worshiping with God, and here God shows me these verses about Psalm 91, protecting and providing, and then the needy in his distress, God's going to take care of, and he's going to hide me in his pavilion. I just had to step away from my Bible and just go and worship God for a couple minutes. More than once, I was moved to tears in this thing that I'm sharing with you. It was just so, so amazing. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place. Back to that secret place. Because none of y'all knew where I was. None of you. God knew, though. And he met me in my time of distress, in my secret place, in his pavilion. It was so amazing. That's how David talked about it. Let's look at how Paul talked about it. So, again, with your Bible, we'll probably end up back in Psalm 91. But turn with me right now to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Because David said, dwell and abide in God. Paul says, put on Christ. Be clothed in Christ. I I think it's the same thing. One side you're looking at here and the other side you're looking at there. But I think in these guys' heart of hearts, they're talking about the exact same thing. Get in God. That's what they're saying. And get alone. Don't copy nobody else's answers. Don't try to imitate somebody. Don't go to Millennium Park tomorrow and try to sit at a picnic table and wait for God to do something amazing. He might. But where do you think it'd be most private for you and God to meet? Where do you think you could really touch God? Where do you think you could be totally comfortable, not have to think about anything else? You could just lock on God. Maybe it's your car. Maybe it's your garage. Maybe it's your basement. Maybe it's somewhere else I can't even imagine. But this is what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. This is, he says, you used to not know Jesus, now you know Jesus. He says that at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. You were not part of the community of faith, and you could not claim any of the goodness of God. That's what he's saying. Wow. Having no hope and without God in the world. That's where I was before I got saved. I was hopeless without God. Verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Man, come on. Because I know when I was an alcoholic atheist, I was far off from God. I knew that. I did not count myself as churchgoer or like church people, none of that stuff. But I was totally hopeless too. And as soon as I got born again, born from above, born from the Spirit of God, and I was clothed with Christ, all of a sudden I was full of hope. I could believe that God was going to bring me through all this junk. That's day one. When the back of my mind saying, yeah, Mike, but you do know you're a drunk, right? How's that going to work? How are you going to ever not drink? But God. I had hope that somehow God was going to help me through all that. And he did. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, if you can turn to that real quick. Just got a few more verses I want to show you guys. And then I'll start bringing this to a close. I'm saying that now because closing is going to be a chunk, but it will be a closing. So Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 is where we're going. Just a little side note. On Monday, after I got done with Millennium, I came back here to church and was just praying through some of this stuff and a few other things God put on my heart and just praying for all of you guys. And I literally, while I was right here, I saw a couple young people ride their bikes up, park their bikes, and then come in. And I talked to them, and I ended up giving them a tour of the church and just talking for them a little while. And one of them is sitting here right now today and brought her family. And so when I say prayer and fasting works, prayer and fasting works. It's amazing. So I'm just blessed by you guys being here today. I really am. So Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. We were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. It's almost like the Lord showed me a totally different light on the emphasis of this whole verse. Because most of you know that our water baptism tank's right back there. And I always say, you know, when you first get saved, you give life to the Lord. And then water baptism kind of symbolizes all that. We die to self. We die to our old life, just like Christ did, going in the grave. And so we go into the water, and then Christ was raised to new life. And when we come out of the water, we live a new life for the Lord. And so we get on with trying to stop being that old guy and start being this new guy. And sometimes it comes down to our own effort and our judging ourselves. No, I haven't changed much. I still got a long ways to go. And then the devil comes in, starts discouraging us, reminding us, and pretty soon it's like, well, What was all? I don't think that water took, man. Maybe I should have soaked for an hour. I don't think it got me. That we're missing the whole point. Because Paul says we are buried in baptism. We are raised with him through faith in the working of God. Not in faith in ourselves. Not in faith in the pastor is going to be able to train you to be a better person. Not in faith in the church being able to serve you enough. Not in faith in us, in humans. It's got nothing to do with that almost. Everything about this is about our faith in God's working in us. That's where hope comes from. That's what David's trying to talk about. Come on, get close to God. Remind yourself about his goodness. Read his word. And as he fills you, your faith is going to be like, oh, I know God can do this. Oh, and that I know God can do this too. God, today, I want to see your word in my life. I know you're going to do it. Woo. Faith goes through the roof in God. No faith in me, no faith in you guys. Faith in God's working to do something amazing. Turn with me to Galatians 3:27. I think this is we'll come back to Ephesians 1 real quick. But Galatians 3:27, Paul says it another way, and it's just so powerful. And all of these things I got through cross-reference in Psalm 91 and God speaking to me there on that, just a regular old picnic table in a regular old shack in a regular old park. But on this day, God turned that into my secret place in a pavilion. It was awesome. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. He's kind of telling the Galatians the same thing he told the Colossians, but he says just a little bit different. He says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Wow. So earlier when I was joking about going in the water tank and coming out and maybe I didn't see enough change inside of me or in my thinking or behavior, well, maybe I needed more water or a longer soak. That was just a total joke. Because when you get born again, when Christ comes into you, he seals you in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so if you're born again, and I'm pretty sure everybody here is born again. If you're born again, you are sealed in Jesus Christ. Not only does he live in your heart, but he sealed you. So that water, when you came out of there and you were wet, you were more perfectly sealed in the Holy Ghost than you were in that water. This is what the Passion Translation says about Galatians 3:27. Listen to this. It was faith that immersed you into Jesus, the Anointed One. It takes faith to get water baptized. It was faith that immersed you into Jesus, the Anointed One, and now you are covered and clothed with his anointing. Now you are covered and clothed with his anointing. It just says a little different from what Paul says, you put on Christ. What does that mean? It means you're covered and clothed with the very anointing of God. The presence of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost cannot be anointed. Did you ever think about that? The Holy Spirit doesn't have to work on his anointing today. The Holy Spirit is anointing. If we're sealed in the Holy Spirit, we're sealed in anointing. So anything I pray for has to come through that anointing. Anybody I touch gets touched with that anointing. I can't help it. I'm sealed in the anointing. I'm clothed. Wow. So this is what David told us to do. This is how they did it. How do we do it now? Because a good sermon, if we can't put it to use in our lives, then it was just a lot of words, right? We're not after entertainment. We're after transformation. I do not want to stay like this my whole life. I'm better than I was, but I don't want to stay here. The Bible says we move, we're constantly transitioning from glory to glory into the image of Christ. Every time we touch God, we're changed a little bit more, a little bit more. Glory to glory. So turn with me to Ephesians 1, verse 17. Now, I'm going to start closing this up. I just want to, it's just another way of emphasizing where our hope should be. Because with hope, everything going on around us right now, we can face it. And we can face it optimistically because we have hope. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Okay, Ephesians 1, verse 17. Paul says, this is Paul's prayer for all of us individually, for our church and every other church through all the time. This is like one of the most important things he could pray for us. There's a couple of times that the Bible records actual prayers of Paul. This is one of the biggest ones. Paul prays for you and me that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, in knowing him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, this is real important here, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Look at this one. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in us? In us, we know the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in us. So that, verse 19, we would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Paul's praying. I'm praying. That God would open up your eyes, your internal eyes. He would give you help through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That through the power of the Holy Spirit, he would open up our internal eyes so that we could see what the power of God is in us, because it's just like the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. The power that raised a dead guy out of the grave. That's the same power that works. He said, I'm praying that you'll get this insight because you need help. You can't figure it out. You can't study into it. You need to have that illumination from the Holy Ghost. This is what the Passion Version, this is how the Passion Version says it. Listen to this, amazing. Paul says, I pray the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination. You know, imagination is a good thing. You can use it for bad things. But God gave us the gift of imagination so we can picture what we're turning into for him. So we can picture ourselves doing great things for God. So we can picture our loved ones coming to the Lord. So we can picture this neighborhood getting transformed for Jesus. That's why he gave us an imagination. Paul says, I'm going to pray that God use your imagination so you can see what he put in you. He says, I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light, until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. The full revelation of the hope of his calling. Are you hopeful for what God wants to do in you and through you? If you will dwell in the secret place, your hope will expand because your eyes will go on him. You'll see the truth. The Holy Ghost will speak to you. All of a sudden, somehow, some way, whether it's a regular guy on a bike that God miraculously told him what to say, or it's an angel that comes and speaks to you, God will confirm his word to you. I promise you. I promise you. Promise you. So this is the actual close. And I said I'm going to start bringing this to a close. Those are all the verses. You're done looking stuff up. Here's the close. Do any of you, don't raise your hand, don't nod or anything, do any of you have a safe at home? I know a lot of people have a safe at home. And you keep that safe at home. People don't buy a safe and then carry it around with them, right? The safe dwells at home. And you put that safe at home, usually in a secret place, so if someone breaks in, they can't find the thing. That's number one. If they do find it, they can't get into it. So you put your most prized possessions in the safe. You don't put shoes in the safe, right? You don't put your favorite shirt in the safe. You put money. You might have some rare coin or something. Put that in there. Birth certificate, in the safe. Mortgage, in the safe. What other things could we keep safe? Maybe guns, in the safe. So your most prized possessions, the things you hold most dear, you lock up in that safe and then you hide it. That is like us. being clothed in Christ, dwelling in God. That safe isn't just going to, you don't carry it with you. It's not common. It's uncommon. I don't know anybody has 9 safes. They have 1 safe. If they have a safe, they have 1 safe, and their prized possessions are in that. When God says, come and dwell with me, come into this secret place. Come on over here. Go inside of God. Get clothed in Jesus Christ. I want to keep you safe. I want to protect you. I want to show you the value you have to me. I want to give you hope for the stuff you're going through right now. Hope in me to move with the power that I raised Christ from the dead. Wow. That's what God's saying to us all the time. El Shaddai, that's what his, if you look up the Hebrew in verse 1, says, he who hides in the shadow of El Shaddai, he is Lord of all. It's so amazing. It's so wonderful. Man, he says, come on in, abide and dwell, remain permanently. And I'm going to convince you how much I love you. And I'm going to convince you. I'm going to illuminate your mind, your imagination, so you can picture some good stuff happen to you, happen to your family, happening in things you're praying for. Psalm 91:2 says this, I'll say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. That's how David said. We can say the same thing. Imagine what David would have said if he could preach to us right now. What would David say? Having the knowledge that all of us have all the scriptures that he had to go to the temple to see, and usually have to have some kind of a priest read to him. All of us have all those scriptures. And what would David say if David could go, hold it now, all these things pointed to a Savior, Messiah. You're telling me his name was Jesus? You guys know him? Yeah, and we were born again by the same Spirit that raised him from the dead that made him our Savior, Messiah. What would David say? He'd be like, charge! Come on, let's go take the world! Right? He didn't have half of what we have. And look at his faith in God, the amazing things that David did. The Bible says David was the one and only guy that's described like this. He had a heart after God. He was the only man ever described as having a heart after God. This guy murdered somebody. This guy had lady problems. He was a horrible dad. It wasn't that he was perfect and did great things for God. In the midst of the garbage he pulled through most of his life, he still loved God and he had hope for God to show up. We can do this. We can do. Don't wait till you're perfect. You're never going to be perfect. You won't. I promise you, you're never going to be perfect. You'll always need Jesus. Because if you can be perfect, you don't need Jesus. Therefore, Jesus lied, saying all of us need him. So let's just get over that. I'm never going to be perfect. While I'm growing and maturing and trying to be better, I'm just going to trust God to dazzle me with his love. While I'm trying to mature, I'm going to be trying. I already told you that. I don't want to stay like this. I'm going. But in the midst, while I get better, while I grow up, I'm going to believe in God's goodness. Come on, we can do this. It's not either or. It's while I'm figuring the rest of this stuff out, I just know God's going to surprise me. He'll probably send some guy named Don on a bike, huffing and puffing, sit behind me, staring holes in the back of my head. I'll turn around, feel all discombobulated, and then he's going to lay a miracle on me. That's the God we serve. That's the God we love. It was faith that immersed you into Jesus, the anointed one, and now you're covered and clothed with his anointing. You guys, not just me, I am, but all of us are covered and clothed in his anointing. You know, we've been going through the book of Revelation. And Jesus said to all the churches, and other times throughout the book, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear, and he who has an eye, let him see. And so this message today is for those of us to have a heart that's open to God. I'll bet all of us heard something today. Something was spiked, something while I was talking, something inside of you went, yeah, yeah, that's God, yeah, that's right, that's for me. That's having an ear to hear. You heard the Spirit talk to the church today, if that's you, and something jumped. I want to encourage you to push in. Lay hold of it. Today, what I'm going to do in closing all of this up today, this is how I want to wrap up today. I kind of want to hitch it on to last Sunday because I don't think I honored the Holy Spirit as I should have. If you remember last Sunday, Cindy gave us a word. Cindy said, there's an anointing here right now for healing. And so then I just kind of said, well, everybody that feels like you might be getting healed, are you at that? And then I prayed. That was fine, but I think we can do better. And I just felt like God was impressing upon me that today we're going to revisit that word that Cindy told us. There's an anointing. Cindy, do you remember what you said? I'd like to have you just share as best you could right now, as best you can remember. And
God wants to heal us physically, spiritually, and emotionally in this church.
Amen. Amen. That's what I remember too. So I'm just going to give us an opportunity. Brad, if you could just play some background music of any kind, or Jake, sorry. If either one of you can just get any kind of a background song going on. I don't want to call the worship team up because I want to give the worship team opportunity to get prayed for or pray with at the same time as all of us. So what Cindy said is really specific. There's an anointing here to heal us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Is that what you said? And so all of us, when I first started talking, remember where I started out with distress and cares of this world and worry and feeling like you're being bombarded and attacked and all that stuff? That's most of us. So I just want to encourage you, take a step of faith today. The thing that you want God to touch in your life so that faith can rise up, hope can rise up, why don't you come on, just come on forward. I'll pray for you. I'll pray with anointing oil. If you could just tell me what you want. And you don't have to, but if you do, then I can pray with some knowledge and pray for healing for whatever specific thing you're looking for. So go ahead and start that song, and feel free to come up. If you don't want to come up, that's fine too. God's here. God can touch you. But I personally believe the more I can step out in faith, the more the closer God is that he can get a hold of me. When I step out of my old thinking, when I step out of what's holding me, the closer I can step into God, the easier it makes for him to hug me and grab me and give me what he wants. So just come on up. We'll spend some time in prayer, and then I'll close it after that.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the one, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence.
That there's anointing here. Of course, we said spiritual, physical, and emotional, but what really came to me was physical healing. Anybody that's dealing with something, and he also gave me whole, come to the waters. That's a scripture, and God says, come to the waters. So if you would like prayer for healing, you know, maybe you're thinking, I'm under the doctor's care, I'm getting better, I'm taking the right medicines, and that's awesome. Praise God for doctors. If you really want, and if you're thinking, I've come for this so many times, I want to just encourage you, come again. Come again, because the touch and the healing of God is here. In Jesus' name.
I know some of the kids are getting a little bit antsy and stuff, so if you feel like you need to leave, feel free to leave. But I just agree with what Jeanette said. And so if you want physical healing, come on up. We'll pray for you. As long as there's someone who wants prayer, just come on up. But if you feel like you need to leave, you're released. God bless you.